The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
It's hour number two, and we are glad you are here. Wednesday, 16th day of September 2020. Grab a line, 866-660-5759. Going to hop to calls here in just a moment. Right out of the Gordon Griffin newscast, though, this happens a lot. A topic jumps at me from a news story. This is one for the people of McKinney and for anybody who has a thought about recall elections. I've always been fascinated by the concept of the recall election, in which the next normal election just isn't enough. It's just not urgent enough. It's where there is an urge to get rid of someone in public office that runs so deep and burns so hot that we need to have an election to get rid of that person, like right now. This is the fate about to befall McKinney City Council member LaShadian Shemwell. I am not a fan of the gentleman in a couple of ways. He appears to be a race baiter and grandstander of the highest order. However, in his lawsuit, I'm going to ask you if you think that he kind of has a point. He's elected. They have districts. There are lots of ways to do city council elections. You can elect an entire council at large, whole city votes for everybody, or you can have it by district, where a portion of the city votes for a council member to represent that portion of the city, and then you put together a little puzzle pieces of the various districts in a city, and sometimes some city council panels are a combination of all the above. Mr. Shemwell's point is that District 1 elected me. That ought to be who recalls me. And yet what they have is the entire city of McKinney is going to vote on the recall. Now, one piece of logic says, well, he's on the council. The entire city of McKinney is affected by his vote, so the entire city should vote on the recall. And Mr. Shemwell apparently thinks if that happens, he's gone. His lawsuit says that it is my district are the only people who voted for me, and so they ought to be the only people who can vote to get rid of me. His gamble there is that he might be a smidge more popular in the district that elected him than he would be across the entire landscape of the city. So without regard to what you think of Mr. Shemwell, or without any regard to the personalities or the politics of this, does he kind of have a point? If you have a recall election on a city council, should it be limited just to the people who voted for you? Should a recall just simply, aren't those the people who are asked, would you like this vote back? What is somebody in some other district in McKinney, they didn't vote for the guy. So you could ask what stake do they have in having a vote in the recall? And that answer might come back, well, whoever's on council does indeed affect the whole city. Your thoughts? That's kind of might be kind of an arcane city government kind of thing, but stuff like that intrigues me. 866-660-5759. I'll have a little more detail on that story here in just a bit. But to the phones. Listening is a wonderful thing, and we're always so grateful. A lot of folks are driving around DFW this morning. Others are, driving around in Jakarta, Indonesia. Others are driving around listening to podcasts or might be listening to this show a couple hours or a couple of days hence, and the online listening and the smart speakers just tell your Google Home or your Alexa or whatever to look for 660 AM The Answer, and it will, and we appreciate whatever listening you do from wherever. Let's go down southeast to Houston. We're in Pasadena, Texas. Clyde, welcome, sir. How are you doing? Good Wednesday morning.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
You know, I first heard about you when you subbed in for Dennis Prager.
There you go.
I was enrolled at Prager U. And I've got to say, I really love the cut of your jib. You've got a great, you know, you enunciate well. You really got great ideas. I loved what you just had to say about, you know, the town hall we just had to go through and watch the mainstream media.
Yep.
I've kind of got an idea for you.
What's that?
What if you started a school in the vein of PragerU called UC Davis?
I'd be sued.
It's Y-O-U. No.
Y-O-U-S-E-E.
S-E-E Davis.
Now, for those who don't know, there's a University of California in the town of Davis, California, like UC Santa Barbara, UC Irvine, UC Davis. But this gentleman has another plan.
Yeah. No. We get a GoPro hooked up to you. And
that's
like
it. Oh, Lord. you don't want that. Not for anything untoward, just for just the very mundane nature of much of the day. I tell you, you know what? It's funny. People think, and I think you had a point about the town hall last night that I want to get to, but that the 3 hours and sometimes multiple, I'm doing Larry Elder today from 5 to 8, and people ask me, do I feel like I'm teaching a class? Do I feel like I'm instructing? And the short answer is no. I feel like I'm hosting a party. I feel like I'm hosting a really fun, smart, topical, interesting party with a bunch of people hanging out, where it's not where everybody's expected to sit and listen while I pontificate, but we just sling hot opinions back and forth, and it's a joy. Did you had a point about the town hall last night?
Yeah, and you're so right. It totally is a party, and just, you know, the amount of disrespect I saw from the speakers. You know, it's really hard to think of, like, an amount of disrespect that we've seen in, you know, recently towards a president. I mean, yep. Is there any analogy you can make?
Well, it's interesting historically to look at what kind of disregard past presidents have gotten. Obama, it's kind of funny because part of it means from whom. You know, did Obama have his detractors? Of course he did. Not in the media culture, not in the Hollywood culture, not in the academia culture. Was President Bush savaged by this media culture? Of course he was. Any conservative president will be, but never anything like this. Was Reagan taunted and made fun of by the media culture? Absolutely. But it was nothing like this. And it's easy to think that this is maybe the worst it's ever been. In the modern era, it probably is. But if you go back, and I'll tell you, the first place we go, you go back to the Lincoln and the things that people said and did and the newspaper articles that were written about him. Obviously, that's in the heat of a civil war and everybody's all fired up in various ways. So there's always been an undercurrent. The notion of unity has always been phony. Any president is going to have his fans and his detractors. But in the modern day, the modern media age, and with the change being this real, with President Trump bringing in things that conservative voters have wanted and begged for generations, they are happening. Yeah. And so there are two groups of people that are thrown off kilter by this. Liberals, which is the entire media culture, the entire academia culture, the entire Hollywood culture, and squish ineffective Republicans who realize that their way of doing things is now going the way of the dinosaur. Put it all together, the change is real. And when the change was going to be real, it was always going to be a freak out for a lot of people. And that's what we're seeing. Let me ask you, how do you think with this most viscerally hated president ever in the public square, you think that damages him or backfires and may actually help November 3rd?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of the only time I've ever really seen disrespect on this sort of a level is when the president disrespected wounded war and dead war combat veterans.
But that didn't happen. That's a lie.
Oh, I saw it on Fox News.
No, no, you didn't. Yeah, that's a fraud, which may define a lot of the premise of your entire call. But I love you. You were fun for 4 minutes. Alrighty, 866-660-5759. Let's take this. This is what out front of the of GMA last night. Let's take a look at the report they did based on the town hall last night.
So yeah, these were really tough questions from these uncommitted voters here in this crucial battleground, some of whom say they made up their minds after what they heard last night.
Anchor
Overnight, President Trump face-to-face with those uncommitted voters.
Why did you throw vulnerable people like me under the bus?
Yeah, there's an undecided voter.
Wear a mask more often.
Please stop and let me finish my question, sir.
His handle.
Yeah, these undecided voters, they're totally impartial.
...of the pandemic under fire from the beginning.
If you believe it's the president's responsibility to protect America, why would you downplay a pandemic that is known to disproportionately harm low-income families and minority communities?
Yeah. Well, I didn't downplay it. I actually, in many ways, I upplayed it in terms of action.
This is the opposite of what he said in a recorded conversation with Bob Woodward.
Ooh. I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
The president also contradicting what even his own health experts say, still insisting COVID will just disappear.
It's going to disappear.
I still say don't take action, correct?
No, I still say it. It's going to disappear, George. We're going to get back
to it. Will it go away without the vaccine?
Sure. Over a period of time. Sure. With time, it goes away.
Many deaths.
And you'll develop herd, like a herd mentality. We're rounding the corner.
Herd immunity, actually.
And I believe that's strong.
As you know, Dr. Fauci disagrees with that.
Well, I mean, but a lot of people do agree with me.
When pressed about masks.
Why don't you support a mandate for national mask wearing?
Okay, but first of all, I guess ABC made the rules for this thing, and they get to make the rules for their house. But these people were sitting so far away from each other, it was flat out ludicrous. Ludicrous for these people to be wearing masks in the audience while they were asking their question.
Instead, criticize his opponent, Joe Biden.
And a good question is you ask, like Joe Biden, they said, we're going to do a national mandate on masks.
He's called on all governors to have them. It is a state responsibility.
Well, no, but he didn't do it. I mean, he never did it.
Even though Biden has no such authority. And as the country approaches the grim milestone of nearly 200,000 Americans dead.
So you regret nothing?
No, I think we did a great job.
The president also on the defensive over health care.
Mr. President, I was born with a disease called sarcoidosis. And from the day I was born, I was considered uninsurable. I want to know what it is that you're going to do to assure that people like me who work hard, we do everything we're supposed to do, can stay insured.
We're going to be doing a health care plan very strongly and protect people with pre-existing conditions. I will say this. They will not do that because they have socialized.
I have to stop you there.
They have socialized.
I have to stop you there. Of course you do.
I just have to stop you there because just on a couple of points. Number one, Joe Biden has ran against Medicare for all in the primaries. But much more importantly, Obamacare guaranteed people with pre-existing conditions could buy insurance. You fought to repeal Obamacare. You are arguing.
Well, I essentially did.
You're arguing in the Supreme Court right now to strike it down. That would do away with pre-existing conditions.
No, so that we can do new health care.
But you've been promising a new health care plan. I interviewed you in June of last year. You said the health care plan would come in 2 weeks. You told Chris Wallace that this summer it would come in 3 weeks. You promised an executive order on pre-existing.
You're going to have new health care. And the pre-existing condition aspect of it will always be in my plan. And I've said that loud and clear.
But you haven't come up with it.
And this pastor, born and raised in Philadelphia, taking this moment of racial reckoning directly to the president and not letting up.
I love these undecided, impartial voters.
Point the phrase, make America great again.
Right.
When has America been great for African-Americans in the ghetto of America? Are you aware of how tone deaf that comes off to African-American community?
Well, I can say this. We have tremendous African-American support. You've probably seen it in the polls. We're doing extremely well.
Well, I mean, your statement is, though, make it great again. These things have historically been happening for African-Americans in these ghettos, and we have not been seeing a change. Because you say, again, we need to see when was that great? Because that pushes us back to a time in which we cannot identify with such greatness. And I mean, you've said everything else about choking and everything else, but you have yet to address and acknowledge that there's been a race problem in America.
So if you go, well, I hope there's not a race problem. I can tell you there's none with me because I have great respect for all races, for everybody.
And when it was over, we followed up to ask the question.
First of all, the gentleman's question is thoroughly worthy. If the question is when, you know, if you're living in the modern day or living in a ghetto in the 50s or something like that, or living in rural Mississippi in the 50s, you know, when was America great? The answer is every day. Perfect and great are not the same thing. Pat Buchanan, an interesting figure if there ever was one, once said on this show, he said that he looks at race relations when he was growing up in the suburbs of D.C. in the 40s and 50s. He said that even with so much progress yet to make, with a large heaping helpings of inequality, that black folks and white folks actually seemed to get along better than they do now. That we've achieved all kinds of equality in law, achieved all kinds of enlightenment, an amazing walk of enlightenment that has benefited and lifted all people. But it's like we're at each other's throats all the time. We're in the middle of rank separatism, the balkanization of America. It used to be civil rights battles used to be about inclusion, used to be about unity, used to be about all of us coming together, getting together, living together. Where did that go? Where did that go? And it's undeniably historically true that it's been a journey from slavery to Jim Crow, to pre-Civil Rights Act, to immediately post-Civil Rights Act in 1964, the passage of the Civil Rights Act. It's not like that instantly waved a wand and everything was perfect for people of color. Far from it. But the notion that that means that let's say somebody African-American living in some ghetto in 1968 was in total hell is a falsehood. You are still in the greatest country in the world that still had some work to do. But and that's part of the binary logic is the people who say that America is great. The supposition is that we're saying that it's perfect. And the supposition is that if something is deeply flawed and if there is great social progress that needs to be made, as we absolutely had and in some ways may still have, that must mean that the country is terrible and without redeeming characteristic. And that's just oversimplified. All right, let's hop into the newsroom with Gordon here next, Brad, for this break. And then they talk to some of these voters, these impartial, independent, undecided voters. We'll see how that worked out. And let's see how things work out with you on the phone. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 826.
I've been around and I've seen some things. People moving faster. Speed of sound.
The great B.B. King.
People living like Superman all day and all.
Born 95 years ago today in Berkeley, Mississippi.
I won't say if it's right. I'm pretty fast myself.
Better not look down from the best of B.B. King. We're exploring a few elements of that on what would have been B.B. King's 95th birthday. He passed away about 5 years ago. What a legacy. What a track record. All righty. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. Let me get the tail end of ABC's package this morning, talking to some of the voters, the so-called undecided voters. I will tell you that in the two, or at least the first two that they chose to share a thought from, the one guy who had asked President Trump the really aggressive question, which, by the way, is fine. But, you know, don't tell me this was an undecided voter going in, because I don't believe it was.
I gotta ask, who are you voting for? Do you know?
Man, well, I'll say it won't be Trump. I'll say that, you know, weigh my options, still undecided.
As of right now, if I had to vote tomorrow, absolutely, it would be for Mr. Trump. It really showed that human side to him. And that's really what I was looking for.
Well, Joe Biden, he certainly was quick to fire back, especially at that suggestion that he didn't himself implement a national mask mandate. He tweeted saying, to be clear, I am not currently president, but we can change that in November.
So yeah, we can. And then you might get a national mask mandate. And I think that is a losing proposition. I think we are a country where the majority view, and again, majority may be 50.0001% or maybe 75%. The majority view is that masks are good, but mask mandates are bad. That the recommendation, the suggestion, the public service campaigns, the urging, it's, you know, the pleading, the begging, the cajoling, that's all fine. And the other thing is it also seems to be working. I mean, doesn't it? There is a certain stigma now to walking around without one in the middle of a small store, in the middle of a big store, because all the stores have a sign out front. Where in the world have you seen maskless people these days? It tends to be only in vast outdoor locations for the most part where you're okay not wearing one. I've said from the beginning, I hate these things. I hate you seeing it on me, and I hate seeing it on you. But I'm going to do it. Couple of reasons. Because if there is some value to this in a close setting where distancing is not possible, I'm going to do it just for whatever benefit there may be. And I don't know what that is, but I'll gamble on the side of safety. And the other is to not be a jerk, because a lot of people are kind of rattled by the proximity of maskless people, and I'm not going to do that to somebody if I'm in their store, some narrow little store or something like that. So it's the notion that we somehow need a government mask mandate, I just don't think that argument is made. I don't think it's successfully made, and others would argue, is that even the way to do it at the national level? Isn't this something that ought to be one of those things that ought to be left to the states? I mean, to have a national mask mandate for people living in the wilderness of Montana is crazy. It just is. All right, 866-660-5759. The LaShady and Shemwell story, the embattled McKinney City Council member in his lawsuit about his recall vote. He makes an interesting point. I mean, the issue of whether the good people of McKinney want to recall him, they'll figure that out in November. His point is, if one district elected me, the whole city shouldn't be able to kick me out. And we'll examine the merits of that here in just a second. We're on the phones. We are in Dallas. Jeff, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing good. So I've been saying this, and we've been saying this wrong all along about masks not working. Here's the newest science that's in. And Citizens for Free Speech, I just ordered a lanyard that says, my doctor says I can't wear a mask, so I'm not. And then it has a First Amendment right thing on the other side. So I'm done with masks.
Well, there's – okay, but what – okay, your doc – what condition do you have? Some respiratory thing? Which does
well,
exist.
You're not allowed to ask me because of HIPAA. So,
well, no, that's crazy. I'm not allowed to identify you. But what is
let
the
me
what?
Give you the science.
No. Actually, what I'm asking for is what is because yeah. this may be something that may be of value to people. What condition is it that precludes mask wearing?
I need tons of oxygen, and I don't want to wear it. It's psychologically ridiculous.
Well, I would say that then God bless doctors, but that doesn't sound medical. That sounds like you hate the thing, and that doesn't really sound like a medical excuse. That sounds like you
sounds like
you don't like it. So, by the way, I totally understand. Feel free to share some science. I love it.
Okay, here we go. So this is a science peer-reviewed study that says masks are ineffective and don't really work. Here's why. Because you can infect yourself via mouth, nose, eyes, open wound. And part of the problem with COVID is it lives outside the host for more than
Correct.
A few seconds.
In identifying that there may be some elements of wearing a mask that present a certain amount of risk, that certainly does seem plausible. Does it make it a net negative? That's a harder argument to make. Next point. I'm pretty well done with that one. Not dismissing it, but you made it, and I think it's a good point. So what do you want to do?
I don't want to wear any mask. I think I've said it before, and I think the logical, reasonable, rational solution is to say, look, if you feel like you're at risk, you need a better mask. They did a study on N95 masks that viral particles can go right through the carburetor or whatever.
So what do you do as you walk up to a store that has a mask requirement on the door? What do you do?
Well, I have something around my neck that says I'm not wearing one, you're not allowed to ask me why.
I think we've established that that's a fraud, that maybe you just have a kindly Dr. Nick who will write you any note you want. It sounds like there's no medical basis for this whatsoever. It just sounds like you don't like it and you don't find it comfortable, which I understand.
The fraud. The fraud is that the government is continuing this charade that this is a serious virus.
Now we might be making some progress here, Jeff. Are you just telling me that this is not, quote, not a serious virus? You really want to go with that in public?
Yep. So I've got way more proof than you.
It's not working well for you, Jeff. It's not working well. Your doctor's note is a fraud. Any point that you might want to make about a mask mandate, which might be the same point that I'm making, that's not a good idea. You've gone a million miles beyond that. You think you've got this conspiratorial BS thing going in your head that doesn't help anybody. And here's what a store has a right to say you need to wear a mask, and you've got a right to not go into that store. You're being a first-class jerk.
Here's the science.
I think I've had my fill of pseudoscience. Thank you. By the way, I don't mean being a jerk to me. I mean being a jerk in public. Listen, I don't like the thing any more than Jeff does. I absolutely don't. And by the way, I'm not sitting here saying that I somehow magically know and believe everything that everybody has said about that masks are magic. I don't particularly believe that they are. Is there some benefit? Might be. And if that's the case, and if it makes me a better citizen and not to freak out some store owner by walking around with some jack wagon note hanging around my neck that I made up or the doctor made up, then I'm going to do it. It's 5 minutes out of my day. And then when I'm back out in the parking lot, I take the dang thing off, get in my car, and go somewhere where I don't have to wear one. That's just not the way to be. We're all going to get through this. If you want to join me in opposing government mask mandates, you absolutely may. It's not a serious virus. Say that, and it makes you a crazy person, because there are dead people who would argue if they weren't dead. Has the coronavirus risk and has the pandemic's severity been overplayed as it gets better? Yes. Is there a media culture that doesn't want it to get better? Absolutely. But if you take those things and you wind up becoming that dismissive, that's not a good look. 866-660-5759. We are in Cleveland. Look at here. I love it. Hey, Jay, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
Nice job on sitting in for Elder.
Oh, I appreciate it. Be there tonight. Looking forward to it.
Good. Enjoy your presence there. Listen, I just turned 70 last week.
Congratulations.
I am an over-the-road tanker truck driver.
Excellent.
A big honking 102,000-pound monster of a vehicle.
Excellent.
I have been running as an avocation since 1985, 6 miles a day, more or less 4 or 5 days a week.
Wonderful.
Which means I've been running for about 35 years now.
You must be exhausted. That's fantastic. I'm so proud.
I'm glad I caught my breath by the time the phone answered.
Exactly. Good for you.
So I have asthma.
Mm-hmm.
I have AFib. I have a bracelet around my wrist that says I have AFib.
Now we may be talking.
I have never worn a mask. I have never worn a mask. I will never wear a mask. And I don't know if I'm principled or not, but just.
No! It sounds like with the previous gentleman, this is exactly what I was exploring, is the notion of actual respiratory conditions that make mask wearing a real risk to your personal health. If that's the case, that's absolutely a thing. And if that sounds like you have something actual medically behind it, rather than just I don't like the thing, which I think was the last gentleman.
That's true. I do have a legitimate medical reason, according to all the authorities and information that we have,
mm-hmm.
that allows me to use that, and I'm going to say this, use it as my excuse.
However, if it's valid, use it all day long.
It is, and I do. However, were it not, if I did not have that bracelet,
right.
Principally, I still stand against wearing the mask because, to a very large degree, while I agree with you this is a serious virus, I don't believe it's any more serious than the influenza or the flu or whatever name you want to put on it.
That's just factually incorrect. I don't know what to tell you about that. No, well, that's probably wouldn't do you well to argue that point. But the thing is, if your wish is to either never wear the thing or wear it as seldom as possible, boy, do I totally understand that. It does. I would hope that you're not one of those people who's going to go flaunt that through the hallways of a Target.
I don't flaunt anything. I just don't wear a mask.
No, I know, let's play the if game. If you didn't have the medical exemption and you were just kind of walking around being, you know, anti-mask Jay, would you flout a rule on the door of a store that says you got to have one to come in?
I would find someplace else to go get what I need.
There you go. Perfect answer. Perfect. Now, you're my hero. Thank you for clarity on that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because a store has a right to require masks. Shoppers have the right to not go to stores that require them if they don't want to wear the dang thing. I will tell you, in this, you know, in the modern moment right now, good luck finding a place that doesn't require them. When's the last time I saw a place that didn't? So it might create a bit of an option challenge. 852, Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer. Wednesday rolls forward. 8 o'clock hour, that's pretty well done. So I tell you what, let's do. Let us cruise into the top of the hour, 9 o'clock news from SRN and from Gordon Griffin. And then back to some stuff I was in the middle of talking about, and have some more things to share with, some more audio, some more calls from you at 866-660-5759. Grab an open line, and we'll spend the 9 o'clock hour together, and it is next.